Make sure you're subscribed to Issues Etc. Type Issues Etc. in your podcast provider, hit that subscribe button, and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for other podcast listeners to find Issues Etc.
What are the particular comforts of Lutheran theology in practice? Find out in my column in the latest Issues Etc. journal. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Peter Slayton writes about growing up in a Christianity that was more about him and what he was doing, and finding in the Lutheran Confession a Christianity that focused on Jesus. The free online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org.
Ancestors, please protect her.
What is your name, soldier?
Hua Jun, Commander, son of Hua Zhou.
We're going to make men out of every single one of you. Close the gate!
The spirit is evident, but something holds you back.
When they find out who you are, they will show you no mercy.
I'm Hua Mulan. I will bring honor to us all.
Well, that's the trailer for the live-action version of Mulan. How much of it, other than that familiar theme music in the background of the trailer, survives into the new live-action version? The old one was obviously a Disney animated musical. They get a lot of money making those animated musicals. Well, the new one doesn't have the music, doesn't have the songs. Is it better? Is it different? Sometimes they call these things reimaginings. How does that apply in this case? Joining us to review the movie Mulan, Pastor Ted Geese. He has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. And he teaches a course for Concordia Lutheran Theological Seminary titled A Lutheran Approach to Art, Media, and Film. Ted, welcome back.
Thank you.
Disney's doing a lot of these remakes, or they call them live action, or they're really CGI remakes. But you say they're also reimaginings of the originals. What do you mean by that?
Well, in some cases, they follow things fairly closely, you know, but they also have, like, there's ones, for instance, like Maleficent, and there's a sequel to that with Angelina Jolie in it as the character of Maleficent from Sleeping Beauty, I believe. And she's not the central character of Sleeping Beauty. She's a character in the original cartoon, but here they've made like a couple of live action films focused on the villain. So it kind of reimagines that world that the character was from. So some of them are actually straightforward, like Lady and the Tramp, things like that, where they're doing these CGI heavy remakes, live action ones. But sometimes they are kind of completely reimagined or largely reimagined or changed enough that they could say that it's not really exactly a remake. And here in this case with Mulan, you get some significant alterations that get made to it. But there are other ones where there's quite a bit of changes. Sometimes that's very successful. Like they did this movie by Mark Foster called Christopher Robin, which is kind of a Winnie the Pooh thing. But it focuses on Christopher Robin as grown up. Ewan McGregor plays that part. So that one is kind of one of these reimagining of these characters and a kind of a newer presentation of a story that's not exactly a remake. And that's a very successful one. And a more straightforward one would be like Cinderella by Kenneth Branagh. That one is more just a remake, but also successful. But there's kind of a wide variety of these now as they kind of go through their whole back catalog presenting things new for a new generation or to capitalize on nostalgia.
This remake is not a musical, as was the original. Is that a good move?
I don't really think so. In preparation for watching Mulan, this is kind of a different sort of a thing because normally I would have seen it in the theater, and of course, this was not released in the theater due to COVID. So it was released through Disney Plus at a premium initially. And at the time I decided I opted not to pay $30 to watch it. But then it was made available through Disney Plus to the people who are subscribed to that streaming platform without any extra cost in December. I think it finally was able to be available. So I, in preparation for it, we watched the 1998 cartoon one evening, and a couple evenings later, we watched the Mulan 2020 film. So they're kind of back to back. Like, some people are going to come to these and they're going to vaguely remember the 1998 musical cartoon animation. And maybe the more vaguely you remember it, the better it will be for your experience of watching Mulan, the new live action film. But we watched them pretty close together. So I was kind of comparing and contrasting the differences. And a big difference is the fact that there's not, you know, music available. It's not a musical, I should say. And I don't think that it's as good for not having the music. I think the idea is that they wanted to make something more dramatic, and some of the musical numbers that you get in the animation kind of detract from a dramatic presentation of an action kind of oriented film. So they kind of, I guess they opted to take them out, or they ended up opting to take them out. But I don't think it's as successful, because I think those songs actually provide a fair amount of nuance to the story and actually provide additional layers of meaning in the whole thing, or at least prop up the story that's being told in a very economical way. So I would say that not having it be a musical is kind of a detriment to the overall final product.
So who is their audience in these remakes? I recently saw, because I have grandchildren, the CGI Lady and the Tramp, and it's pretty close to like shot for shot. Mm-hmm. They're obviously trying to get kids there. Is that the case here with Mulan?
I think so, but they also are like expecting that people who first saw it as kids are going to revisit it, I think, or that they may themselves now have kids, or perhaps like what you're talking about, like grandkids. So it's kind of a mixed audience, as is the case usually for these kinds of kids movies. They know that kids don't hop in the car themselves and drive up to the movie theater and slap down the cash and go in. They often, if they're young enough, they're going to need to have some supervision, obviously, to get there and watch the film. So they know that there's going to be adults in the audience as well. But I'm sure, like for Lady and the Tramp, of course, you're going to have the scene with the spaghetti, the plate of spaghetti and all that. Like, there are certain things that a little kid watching it for the first time would not know that it's missing, but an adult who has a nostalgic connection to the original cartoon or animation would know if something like that was missing from it. And there's actually an example of that here in this Mulan film, where one of the, actually a really good moment in the original cartoon is when Mulan, who, I guess the general premise of the film is that the Hun are attacking from the north and the emperor is calling for every family to provide a man to go fight in the army against the invading Mongolian army, as it were. And her family has only daughters, and the father has a war injury from the past, and she goes in his place kind of and joins the army and becomes a warrior. But what you get is this in the 1998 cartoon is this great moment where she's kind of setting aside her feminine trappings and putting on all of the armor and getting her father's sword and like getting the horse and taking off, and the music is swelling. It's kind of a montage. It's done very, very well, and it kind of builds where things are going. In this film, there's that scene kind of goes by so quick, and it isn't a shot for shot remake of that moment, which is a very good moment from the 1998 film. It truncates it in such a way that you don't get that sense that she's making this transition. It just kind of all happens very quickly, and then she's gone out into the night, taking off towards the army.
So take us through the plot, if you would, of this Disney remake.
So this Disney remake, again, Mulan is the daughter, in this case, the eldest daughter of a family where, the, like I said, the the father is not really going to last very long if he goes to fight again in the army. He's got some physical injuries from that. And she decides to take off and go join the army in place of her father. Prior to that, they really established the idea that women bring honor to their family not through fighting. They bring honor to their family through marriage. And she was being sent to the matchmaker to be matched up. And in the end, she decides to join the army. Now, she has to conceal the fact that she's a woman because they set up in the course of the story that this would, of course, bring dishonor if a woman was to fight in this way. So she has to hide her identity as a woman. She goes through training. They end up engaging the enemy. And through the course of it, she becomes a respected war hero. Then, of course, the dramatic turn is that her identity as a woman, as Mulan, is revealed. And this, of course, brings dishonor. And then what do you do about that? So the hurdle then is to get past that and protect the emperor. So this is the general outline of the story. The emperor is protected. She gets back home to her family. And it can kind of concludes in that way.
The plot would seem on the face of it to be ripe for what Disney likes to do with these stories, and that is to subtly inject, sometimes not so subtly inject, agendas from feminism and, I would think in this case, the new theories on gender.
Well, it is very interesting because in preparing for this, I went and checked into the source material. So most of these Disney animations come from some sort of source material. Oftentimes they're, European fairy tales. In this case, it's a 6th century AD ballad called The Ballad of Mulan. And it's very short. And when you look at it, it doesn't have this storyline in it about dishonoring the family by hiding your identity. It's not part of the story. So when she goes in place of her father in the ballad, there's no value judgment in that in terms of a negative value judgment that then has to be a hurdle that needs to be jumped over to get to having honor again. What happens is also is that in the course of that ballad, she goes away and she's gone for 10 years and she's actually 12 years with these other soldiers. And it isn't until she's accomplished everything, she's gotten leave from the emperor to return home, that she returns home. She then puts away her warrior's armor, puts on her women's clothing, as it were. And at that point, then the soldiers realize that she was a woman the whole time. A lot of the drama that's injected into the story, both in the 1998 film and then in the 2020 film, isn't actually in the original story. It's more of a story of a girl who honors and cherishes her family. And because there isn't a son, steps up and does this. When you watch these current versions that Disney has presented, you do get, I guess the most charitable way to put this is, for the sake of drama, you get these injections into the story, these ideas about family and honor and what women can do and what men should do, and all of that is kind of injected in. So this is a 21st century area that they're interested in including in the story. The other kind of, you were mentioning the gender role stuff, this is very kind of a complicated thing too, because in 1998, of course, the media didn't promote what would, I guess you could call cross-dressing at that time. So they didn't promote this as a great thing. So there are some jokes and stuff in there that I think now, if you were part of the LGBTQ community and you were to look at that, you would probably find some of those jokes to be insensitive at this point. So there's social justice warrior kind of type progressive individuals would look at some of that stuff from 1998 and think that it was insensitive. It is a bit of a sticky thing because now they're doing this remake / reimagining, and you get a scenario in which they still want to have this fact that she's hiding her identity and that it gets revealed and then that has to be overcome as a plot point, which then means that Mulan has to actively be deceiving everyone around her over this. And this is something that I think the most progressive of viewers are going to find distasteful, because she shouldn't have to do that. She should be accepted right from the beginning. So I think that this is something that is very kind of complicated. They're fairly careful about how to deal with it, but it's still a part of the story. So the fact that she has dishonored her family by concealing her identity and doing this is a part of the story. And of course, as Christians, we would look at it and we would think, well, our true identity is actually in our baptism in Christ Jesus. That might be something worth talking about with kids, grandkids, or whoever you might be talking to about this film if you're talking to them.
Pastor Ted Geese is our guest. We're reviewing the movie Mulan. He has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. And he teaches a course for Concordia Lutheran Theological Seminary titled A Lutheran Approach to Art, Media, and Film. It's also a martial arts film. How does it add up and how does it measure up that way?
Like we always do. Saturday night at the movies. Who cares what picture you see?
You could win recordings of all 10 Making the Case conferences and recordings of more than 50 hymns featuring the Lutheran Public Radio Choir. Here's how. Subscribe, rate, and review Issues Etc. with Apple Podcasts. Copy and paste the text of your review and send it to talkback@issuesetc.org. We'll announce the winners on February 1st. Subscribe, rate, and review Issues Etc. with Apple Podcasts and send your review to talkback@issuesetc.org.
The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod's Life Ministry is thousands of people sharing Christ's love and mercy and giving witness to our Lord's creation of life, His design for marriage and the family, and the God-given value of all human life from conception to natural death. Working with many partners, LCMS Life Ministry sponsors human care efforts that meet the needs of body and soul and provides resources and educational events for all ages. To learn more, email lifeministry@lcms.org and visit lcms.org/life.
Your lifeline to the Lutheran worldview. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Many educational institutions are governed by the whims of culture and are increasingly hostile to the Word of God. In contrast, Faith Lutheran School in Plano, Texas, provides classical Lutheran education rooted in God's Word for students preschool through grade 12. Simply put, we equip students to stand firm in the faith through solid education focused on wisdom and virtue. We offer in-person instruction as well as live online classes for remote learning. To learn more, visit flsplano.org, flsplano.org.
Listen to chapel services live, weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Morning chapel from Kramer Chapel. Live weekday mornings at 9 Central, 10 Eastern, 8 Mountain, and 7 Pacific at issuesetc.org.
We're getting a review of the movie Mulan from Pastor Ted Geese. You're connected to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. 16th century reformer Martin Luther once stated, "I am afraid that the schools will prove to be the very gates of hell unless they diligently labor in explaining the Holy Scriptures and engraving them in the heart of the youth." Faith Lutheran School in Plano, Texas provides classical Lutheran education rooted in God's Word for students preschool through grades 12. They provide in-person and live online remote learning. Find out more at flsplano.org. Faith Lutheran School, Plano, Texas, flsplano.org. Ted, this movie is also a martial arts film. How does it measure up in that classic genre?
It's not great. if you really love... these kind of wire, acrobatic martial arts films. Like, as I was watching it, I thought to myself, you know what I really should do is I should just watch Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon again, the Ang Lee movie from 2000. And then there's like these great other ones. There's these Zhang films, Hero and House of Flying Daggers. They're great too. And there's a whole bunch of them. They're just a step above all of this. I mean, they are a little more violent. They are more, they're for an older audience. Like these ones are certainly, they don't have a lot of blood in them. Like I think it's pretty much completely bloodless, this Disney film. But they have some of these acrobatics, but it's not super well done. It's well done. It's just, it's mid-level stuff. It would be a C-grade martial arts action film kind of thing. And the other weird part about it is that you have some people in here, like Jet Li, for instance, who's a quite accomplished martial artist and in lots of films. And if you don't recognize that it's Jet Li playing the Emperor, it's a total weird non sequitur later in the film when he suddenly, as the Emperor, becomes this big martial arts expert. Like they didn't do anything at the beginning of the film to set up the fact that this might happen. So unless you know who Jet Li is, know his film resume, and have recognized him, you're going to think to yourself, well, I didn't see that coming. And that, of course, is in the epic conclusion to the film.
There is also a concept of qi that is present in this film. What is it, and what are your pastoral concerns?
Well, qi is kind of a complicated thing in that there might be in Asian culture kind of a naturalistic understanding of qi. Like qi is this natural spirit that people have. Perhaps it's, I think, more analogous to the idea of spirit. It's about like this vitality that a person might have. And in the case of the character of Mulan, her parents, her family, her father particularly, and her mother are telling her that she shouldn't embrace her qi, because her qi is expressing itself in this kind of practically supernatural ability to do these acrobatic martial arts kind of maneuvers. And that this is going to outshine men, and this is not for women to do. So she's being told to hide her qi. And later on, of course, she embraces it. And in embracing it, then she throws away her armor and she's just like out fighting practically without any protection at all. But there's this sense where it's presented almost like the Force or something like that, where she has these skills and abilities that far outreach what any normal person could ever normally accomplish. And if you think of it in the terms of spirit, I think the Christian can then think of how we would look at spirit ourselves, that spirit is one of the things that God gives us. So a person is made up of body, mind, and spirit, and that we ourselves will go through challenges in our lives that require endurance, which then build character. And as St. Paul says, then this would move us to hope, that the spirit of a Christian is really focused in on the gifts of God and not so much on the ability to perform outstanding, over-the-top, supernatural feats of martial arts.
So you had mentioned before the original story, the legend, and how it is markedly different in terms of honor and obedience to parents, things like that. What are your thoughts on those fourth commandment issues in this story of Mulan?
Yeah, I mean, we talked about this whole idea of dishonoring your family by bearing false witness about yourself. That kind of falls into also the eighth commandment. But here, like, the fourth commandment is kind of an interesting thing in that, like I said, she's not, in the actual folk song or the ballad, she's not dishonoring her parents. But in this film, they really kind of present it in such a way that she is. And this is a troubling thing to her, to her family. And I guess before we dig too deeply into it, I mean, I think something to keep in mind is what St. Paul writes in Colossians chapter 3, where he says, "Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged." And this came to mind as I was watching it, because it's very clear that her family wants her to get married and bring honor to the family in that way. So her going off to fight is actually against what they desired, right? So she then ends up not obeying her parents. But here, though, what you have is a case where, because of this chi that she's got, she becomes an extraordinary warrior, a war hero. And because of her accomplishments, then when she returns to her family, she does ask for their forgiveness, but then they turn right around and they say, no, it should be us that is asking forgiveness of you. In fact, forgive us because we were wrong. So while she may have been provoked by her father, who kept telling her to settle down, the utilitarian way that this is presented, it kind of creates a situation where, and you see this pitfall over and over again, it happens a lot with Disney films and TV shows and things, where the kid is right and the parent is wrong. And in this case, not just the parent, but all of Chinese society has been wrong about women warriors. This is the takeaway. And I think that this is something that is worth talking about. If you're watching this as a family, or if you have already watched this at some point, it's worth maybe reinvestigating and talking about this particularly.
What are your final pastoral thoughts on this film?
This has also in it ancestor worship, and it's not as pronounced in this film as it is in the 1998 cartoon. I think between the two of them, the 1998 cartoon is the more sophisticated and also more fun film. So families are probably going to either have watched that or enjoy that one better. In which case, then, if you are running into that ancestor worship element in either that 1998 film or this one, that it's something that we should think about as Christians, and particularly as Lutherans. We don't believe, teach, or confess that the faithfully departed from our families continue to involve themselves in our daily lives, that they're not focused in on the honor of the family. We trust that they are actually at rest with Christ Jesus, awaiting the resurrection on the last day. At the same time, though, we do want to remember our leaders. This is what we hear in Hebrews chapter 13, those who taught us the word of God, considering the outcome of their way of life. And then we are, as Christians, to imitate them. So our relationship to our ancestors, as it were, is not the same as is depicted in this film or in these films. And it's not the same as you find in Chinese culture or in quite a few Asian cultures, actually, where ancestor worship is a big part of things. In fact, you might remember, too, when we were talking about Black Panther, that it was a big part of the Black Panther film as well. So keep your eyes peeled for ancestor worship as you find it, because that is a pagan, non-Christian practice, especially as it is presented in a film like this.
Pastor Ted Geese has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. He teaches a course for Concordia Lutheran Theological Seminary titled The Lutheran Approach to Art, Media, and Film. You can read Pastor Geese's movie reviews on the Talk on Demand archives page at issuesetc.org. Ted, thanks.
Thank you.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll resume our series responding to Roman Catholic proof text, talking with Dr. Stephen Parks about Matthew 19, verse 12, and priestly celibacy. And we'll discuss the Gospels of Peter and Judas with Dr. Craig Evans. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois invites you to an open house from 1 to 3 on Sunday afternoon, January 31st. Take a tour, visit with faculty and administration, and find out more about financial assistance and scholarships. For more information, visit the Facebook page for Metro East Lutheran High School or call 618-656-0043. Open house at Metro East Lutheran High School, Edwardsville, Illinois, Sunday afternoon, January 31st.
In a world awash with all sorts of information, opinions, and ideas, there is still a place where God's Word is the central and only focus. Messiah Lutheran Church, 801 North Madison, Lebanon, Illinois. At 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings, God's people gather there to listen to Him. There you will find His words of law and gospel, and of course, our Lord's Holy Supper. Bible classes focus on the Bible and the Lutheran confessions. Come, listen, believe, and live, and check out our website at messiahlebanon.org.